Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Fired up today, you can tell. College football is on the way. NFL shortly after that. We get another week of preseason in the National Football League, including another Raiders preseason game. We'll hit on some Raiders notes in our 5 o'clock hour. We are on in Northern Nevada, 4 to 5. That's brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyers. You can call from anywhere in the state of Nevada. 766-1400. Got to dial 775 in the north, 776-1400. All right, Big Four time with Greg Salerno and Griffin. Let's do it.
Battle Born Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
I think we have a dream couple just starting off their relationship. I really love what I saw on video with Klay Thompson and Megan Thee Stallion. I'm a big fan of Meg's.
Yeah. Well, somebody is, because this dude is smitten, I must say. Klay Thompson.
Who do I ask first? Griffin, are you... You're 6'5", so you're probably the good person to ask. Are you generally a... Man, I could get him in trouble here, depending on who he's with. Are you a bigger fan of someone who is height appropriate for you, or are you cool like 5'3 and below? You're 6'5".
I know. I don't want to be judged by this answer, but yeah, no, I actually enjoy them when they're a little shorter than me, but I also really, it's almost like a golden goose. I'm still finding the one that's a little taller than me. Mm-hmm. So I don't have any preference, honestly.
Greg, you know, you and I will doink a catcher's mitt, so we're not
too
picky. But
sure. But if I had a choice, normally shorter, Latina or Italian women.
Oh, okay. With the ethnicity. Okay.
Beautiful taste.
Well, so, I'm just saying they're usually shorter.
So my whole point here is, you know, Klay Thompson, 6'6", 6'7". I think Megan Thee Stallion would be too tall for me. Not that I'm insecure, but I think once she puts heels on, I think she's like 5'11", 6'1", 6'1".
Sure.
So she's, for a tall guy, she's... And I was going to say she's a biggin, but she's actually... I think she was never fat. I think she's slimmed down a little bit, too. So yeah, she's... this is... Kathy Olivier used to say that she was the old... Lady Rebels coach. And I always loved the way she talked about her women's basketball team, because she would talk about them in male terms, which I think a lot of, like, people talk about female athletes and are like, they don't want to call them a beast or a monster.
Sure.
You know? But like, Megan's, she's like, she's sturdy. She's big.
She is. I think she's,
I like that,
genuinely pretty too. Like, you know, these days people get a rap for like changing their look, whatever. She's actually, wake up next to her, it's like, wow, she's really pretty.
Apparently she can cook.
That's great,
But we'll be the judge of that. So there's a mashed up video with her cooking for Klay Thompson. I got to tell you, Klay is doing the right thing. I made the joke, like, how special is she? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he really kisses her butt here. But she made a special dish for him, and he does what he needs to do.
What's up, y'all? So Klay had never had spaghetti and catfish together before, and ever since the first time I made it for him, he asked me, like, every week.
Tell me what you think.
It is the best thing I've ever tasted, my favorite meal. Mm-hmm. Catfish, spaghetti, and Hawaiian rolls.
Mm-hmm.
And it just goes down.
Okay, I don't think that all belongs together, but my eating habits, because I've mentioned a billion times on the show, I'm a big leftovers person.
Yeah.
So almost every night is some mashup of leftovers, and the combinations are kind of like that. I'll be honest, I've never seen spaghetti with marinara, fried catfish, and then the Hawaiian rolls. I think it's a fascinating combination. And while the plating was a home plating, it wasn't bad. We will run this by our plating expert on Friday, Mark McMillan. But he may also say, it's Megan Thee Stallion, F the plating.
Yeah.
What? Who cares?
Exactly.
But I love Klay Thompson's, like, most delicious thing I've ever had in my life.
Is he going to be the new Doug Christie?
That's what you got to do, though.
Yeah.
That is, especially early in a relationship, if someone is cooking for you, you better be nice.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is the best thing I've ever eaten in my life.
Love it. And you're like, okay.
By the way, when's dinner? No.
When's the second dinner? What did you think of the dish? Are you a catfish guy?
I never had it, but you know what it reminds me of, kind of? The closest thing I could think to of is I used to make scallops and marinara and angel hair pasta.
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe a similar taste.
Is there any... I'm going to sound really stupid here. So we know... chicken parm, which is one of your favorites. You got breaded chicken.
Yeah.
Is there breaded seafood a common thing? By the way, it's not like chopped up catfish right. in mixed in the spaghetti.
Right, right, right.
It's like a
catfish, like a steak dinner. Yeah. Yep. Okay, I see.
It is saying. A fried catfish right. steak, like right. on the side, on top of the Hawaiian rolls.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Like you don't do, you do breaded shrimp? Breaded shrimp ever in pasta? No, right?
Nah, I don't think so. Not that I can think of. I mean, I've breaded eggplant before, but that's not fish, not obviously. Fish,
yeah. Yeah. I thought it looked pretty good. And honestly, for Megan Thee Stallion, I'd be like, man, it's delicious.
I mean, I'll eat whatever.
I got to tell you, though, and I wish you guys would watch the video closely. I hope you do. They're regular people. They're rich as F. And Klay Thompson, I don't know whose house that is, but Klay Thompson is on a sectional couch, and they show him eating two meals. He's got the same exact, what do you call them, card tables, kind of the tables that fold out. You can put like four of them in a rack
yeah.
in your closet. He's got one of those, and then he's got an even lower table. I'm like, he's 6'7". So his knees are like up at his shoulders, and he's like going down and just crushed the heat. I'm like, okay, no frills.
Maybe there's just what they want you to see.
I got ripped by someone who's a little older than me for saying that I never eat at a dinner table anymore unless it's out. We don't have a table at home. Everything is done in front of the TV, which is what Megan Thee Stallion and Klay Thompson were doing.
Well, I just have a dinner table that I can see the TV from, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got rid of the table. We thought it was more important to have a bar in its place.
That's fair. That's fair.
I found a good bar. I was yeah. like, we don't need this table. The table is off to the side.
Yeah.
It could be used for food.
Right.
We haven't been on that table. That table is the storage table. And then when I pull out the 63 Christmas trees
yeah.
for the holidays, about 7 go on that.
So do you eat on the couch, like on your lap or what?
No, we have those same exact card
oh,
tables.
Oh, like the little trays.
The tray okay. tables, yeah. Okay. We have theirs were black. I will get those. I like those. But yeah. same exact thing. No. Animals.
Yeah. I got a buddy that uses those too.
Yeah, animals. We never eat. Mm. Never eat at a table. Always in front of the TV. Can't miss anything on TV.
Yeah.
We can't have a conversation facing each other at home.
And I can't start eating.
Actually spend like 45 minutes talking to each other and eating. Nah, can't do that.
I can't start eating until I find a show either. Like if I'm looking for something on Netflix, that food will get cold before I find something before I start eating.
We have a lot of issues in our situation because we both grab food. And then I heat my food up 84 times.
Yeah.
So it's always like, are you getting up again? I'm like, yeah, food's not hot.
Why don't you just put it in longer?
It still cools down.
Oh.
I'm not a speed eater like you guys are.
No, but I'm saying, oh, you mean you heat it, it's hot, and then you sit and there and it gets cold.
Yeah. The whatever show was on, it gets paused a lot.
It's like a baby. She'll like feed you.
Why we don't set up a table right next to the microwave is beyond me. That's the place.
Right.
Because I could just... And a TV. Just put a TV on the wall, and I could just reach up,
or just
open, put it in.
Get a heat lamp that goes on your tray.
Ooh!
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I like where y'all are going with this. The living room microwave. It's going to be big. Everyone's going to be doing it.
Yeah, what about a...
Heat lamp.
You know what? It's too big. I actually have... for parties, I have... one of those heat trays that has like three little trays.
Yeah.
I could actually just bring out the base and have a plate on top of that.
Okay.
But here's the thing. We also got rid of most of our regular plates and we have the cheapest plastic plates. Yes. By the way, I'm over 55. And this is my life.
He's eating macaroni and cheese out of a cop hat.
It's a very simple life. Who wants to do regular dishes? The plastic dishes are like done like that.
It's great.
I got to wash the dishes. All right. Number three.
Number three.
Okay, this is getting pathetic. I know everyone needs money in college football.
Yeah.
And they're going to sell everything they can. Griffin, you found a story where Oklahoma is, they have a Sooner Magic Memories program. One of the things they're going to do, is it $692?
For two tickets.
To the game and, or just to this?
And.
Oh, you
I believe
tickets.
It's and. I believe it's the whole package. Okay. When it's that amount, yeah, you get the whole package.
For $692, what's the bonus aside from going to the game?
So for $692.11, you can get two tickets to sit in to go to attend the game, but then you can also sit in on the media session after the Oklahoma-Michigan non-conference showdown.
Have you been to press conferences?
Yeah.
They're so bad.
Yes, they're terrible.
That would be like us charging, like, you know, obviously everyone needs money.
Right.
Let's charge I don't know, $50 a head for two people to sit here and watch the show. It is so boring in person. It's pretty boring over the air. But every time every time someone's in here, I'm like, all we do is talk. I'm not doing jumping jacks. I'm not doing tricks.
Who put this promotion together? Gene Simmons?
Good, nice reference, because did he not monetize everything?
Everything. With Kiss? He show up to a meet and greet, he'll like charge you for the oxygen before you leave.
Do we know who's the GM of Oklahoma football? Is it Gene Simmons?
I doubt it, but I need to look into that, man. I mean, hey, maybe these fans are thinking, anybody who would actually buy this, maybe they're thinking to themselves, oh, I can finally get in there and give them my 2 cents. I can finally start asking some real questions that everyone's too scared to do.
Oh, I don't think they're going to let you ask questions.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're not going to have questions.
They might not let them, but I guarantee you there's going to be some people who go
hecklers.
Hecklers, yes.
Number two.
Okay, what is Caleb Williams? 1 week he sucks. And this is why I opened the show saying, don't overreact to what you see in preseason. They're not real games. And you're just starting off a new coaching regime. After game two of the preseason, here's some dude on TikTok. He's very monotone, but he is very excited about Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson together.
The Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams era has officially begun in Chicago. Let's take a look at this first drive. Caleb Williams hits Colston Loveland for an 8-yard gain. The hope is Ben Johnson will be able to help out Caleb Williams and draw up good plays for him. He does just that here, finding Cole Kmet up the seam for an easy completion in a big game. Those two tight ends are going to cook this year in Chicago if things go right. After a holding penalty here, Caleb Williams drops back and once again finds the rookie tight end, Colston Loveland, for a nice completion.
Look at how happy Griffin is. He's totally buying into this. This person was up at Punch the Air Cakes on TikTok. Just so jacked up about the tight end connection because of Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams.
Yeah, it's going to be great. There's two good tight ends on the Bears. They're going to put up points. I don't know how this guy made me a little less excited for my Bears. First of all, you're right. Monotone was an understatement.
Yeah.
But
it was the video that made it.
Yeah.
And he zipped some passes. The biggest thing with Caleb Williams in this set of plays was it basically was 1-2-3 throw.
Yeah.
There was no delay. Just get the ball out, bro. That's his biggest thing. They got to streamline it so it's, you know, easy targets. Get the ball out.
Yeah, all the hype right now around him after a preseason game, after two series, I believe, almost feels like a backhanded compliment where, you know, everyone's freaking out like, oh my God, the Bears offense. He has timing. He can throw. He got all the this looks like a real offense. I get it. We sucked at offense for a very long time. But
they had a bad OC. They had a bad OC. They hired an offensive coach. He's supposed to be a genius. It's going to take Caleb Williams a little bit. Neil, not every number one pick is an star. That said, don't overreact to game two of the preseason either.
Yes. Yes.
Number one.
Raiders fans are crazy right now after what they saw from Aston Jeanty. Did you like all of it in game number two?
I'll tell you what. When he was trucking that dude, the linebacker, I was like, man, that is awesome. Then I thought about it for a minute. I'm like, he's not a really big guy.
Right. 5'9", 215.
Yeah, I mean, can he do this?
Maybe don't want to be doing this shoulder.
I mean, yeah, like, don't get me wrong. I love it. There's part of me that's like, yeah, you know, like, knock that dude out. But then I'm like, man, is this guy going to last, like, doing this? Because he doesn't shy away from contact whatsoever. It's almost like he'd rather run you over than juke you out.
Well, he likes to run through tackles.
You know?
But no one really could square him up in college football. Now they're going to square him up more often. He'll learn because he got a stinger.
He got a stinger on the first collision,
and he still trucked another guy really effectively, knocked him to the ground.
It's great.
Coming up, let's get some NFL breakdowns, especially of the quarterback position and fantasy football.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Week zero college football coming up. In town, we got that UNLV Idaho State game. This is also the time of year where it's nitty-gritty, fantasy football. We have one guy on the show, Adam Hill, who's a psycho. He's not in today, but 81 fantasy leagues that he's in.
81?
Yeah, I think I'll be in two. I like it. I don't like it that much.
How do you keep up, though?
Like, but if you love fantasy football, maybe 5 or 7 leagues, right?
Yeah, I mean, geez.
Even 81. Yahoo Fantasy has a draft weekend inside the Venetian at the Yahoo Sportsbook. In conjunction with William Hill. Nate Tice is part of the mix at Yahoo Sports, played college football. We wanted to hype up the event and also get some fantasy advice from him. He joins Cofield and Greg Salerno. What's going on, Nate?
Not too much. Yeah, got some fantasy stuff, you know, which is, you know, only focusing on a few guys. But no, dude, but I also like to talk a little bit of trench play. It was fun watching the Raiders the last couple of weeks, too, putting together that offense.
Yep.
Geno saying, hey, I'm just going to throw it to Brock Bowers. So I don't know if you guys need fantasy advice, but that Brock Bowers guy is pretty good. So I think you can draft him high and feel pretty good about it.
Well, that's a good place to start. Like, how high should he go? How high has he been going? And then I also wonder, you know, if he's a 100 catch, say 1,100 yard guy, I think there's a lot of young tight ends who were nipping at the heels. And some of the older guys, like last year, Kelce, a lot of catches, but the yards were down. So talk about Bowers first, and then kind of who are the guys who are nipping at Bowers' heels as good options if you don't want to spend a super high draft pick?
Yeah, there's kind of a clear top three. Bowers is on top of that top three, but it's Bowers, Trey McBride from the Cardinals, and George Kittle from the 49ers. But Bowers, I'm still bullish and optimistic that he can continue an upward trend, what he did last year, where he was setting records as a rookie tight end. Because just the Chip Kelly addition, who is fine highlighting tight ends, has done in the past. This kind of funky personnel that the Raiders have, where their best two offensive skill players are a tight end and a running back, and, you know, with Ashton Jeffery and Brock Bowers, they actually have an offensive coordinator that can highlight those guys and a quarterback that can get them the ball, and Geno. So I'm actually very bullish that the tight end one ranking that he's getting is worthy. And if you're kind of, hey, you know, running backs have already gone, those top guys, the Bijan Robinsons of the world are gone, some of those top receivers, and you want to just get in early with the tight end one, you know, somewhere in early round two is kind of very justifiable. But also, you know, I'm a big believer in either you get in early or you get in late on tight ends. You don't want to be in the middle ground. And some of those guys that are later guys or maybe middle-late guys that I'm very high on, a guy like a Tucker Kraft from the Green Bay Packers. Real football and fantasy football terms. He's just turned into a heck of a player, blocker, and as a receiver, get those stats. And with all the volatility with the Packers receivers, they all seem to be dropping like flies right now. You know, Tucker Kraft is kind of the steady Eddie of that offense, and Jordan Love seems to like him. So he's a guy I'm very high on. There's other really some more buy low guys. Evan Ingram is another one moving to the Broncos. Real football terms, he's limited, but fantasy wise, I think it's a great fit for that offense. So that's another guy that I buy low on that I'm bullish on. But long story short, Bowers earns that ranking, and I think he's going to justify it pretty easily with this offense with the Raiders.
Talking to Nate Tice, Yahoo Sports. You bring up Jeanty, and we were talking about this last break. I love watching him truck dudes, like running over linebackers and stuff, but he did get a stinger the first time he, you know, took a big hit, and then he ran over another dude. Does he have the frame to keep this up? Like, is he a kind of guy you worry about injury sometime this season? I don't want to, like, you know, put bad juju on him or anything. But
no, I think sometimes he might have to save himself from himself.
Yeah,
he's very competitive, and it's one of those where it's like, I appreciate you trying to truck everybody. You right. know, I'm not gonna doubt you. You can go out of bounds. I've seen what you did at Boise State. You know, right. I trust you're gonna be okay in the regular season. So he's a rookie. He can take it right now.
Yeah.
But I think I'm with you though. He took a couple hits and ones where he's only gaining 2 yards. And I'm like, okay, I appreciate it, but save yourself. He's the real deal though. He's such a heck of a player. And again, I think his offensive system fits him very well. And I think, you know, Pete Carroll and Chip Kelly, two guys that are not strangers to running the ball, are going to just feature him a bunch. You know, I like Raheem Mostert as kind of the spellback too. I maybe wish they had another kind of bruiser to maybe take some hard touches for Jeanty a little bit, maybe make it an 80-20 split, 75-25 split. But, he's a very fun player. I'm excited to watch him this year.
Nate Tice is with us. He's part of a all-star crew of Yahoo fantasy experts. They'll all be in town down at the Venetian at the Yahoo Sportsbook. Guys like Matt Harmon and Justin Boone and Ben Fox is also going to be in town. It's all part of their nationwide 28 days of fantasy. Check out Yahoo Sports. Excellent platform for fantasy football. When you draft teams, do you go with, let me build a powerhouse wide receiving core, or are you still a traditionalist and you go out and you try to get two awesome backs?
If I'm in a position to get one of the guys that I think is going to get the usage at running back, I'm taking them. I think going backs early and getting that usage, it's just harder to find those guys. I do think, you know, the NFL being more, you know, going back to more run systems and run base where running backs are getting more touches, easier to maybe find guys that are running back ones, but maybe not top three, top four, top five league winners. But I think if you have a chance to draft Bijan, you go for it, because I just think there are so many good receivers and ones that you can, you know, maybe find at medium rounds or middle rounds and kind of outkick their ADP a little bit, their average draft position. So I really am more of a traditionalist in that way. Having said that, I'm not a stranger to being going no running backs, as they call it, where I'll just go receivers, tight end, get the best quarterbacks like the Josh Allens, the Jalen Hurts, the Lamar Jacksons, you know, fantasy wise, and then make sure I have a top guy at all those spots, and then try and throw some darts at some running backs. Hope a Zach Charbonnet from the Seahawks, you know, breaks out with Kenneth Walker getting hurt again or something. A Jordan Mason stealing touchdowns for the Vikings. You know, that's a strategy as well. But it's really draft position. But if I were in an auction league, I'm going running back. I'm paying a premium for running backs because I don't want to deal with it. That's kind of what I'm old now. I just don't want to deal with it and just go that way.
Nate Tice is with us, Yahoo Sports. Okay, I feel like a lot of these fantasy spots turn into just pumping up guys that you know, are breakouts and superstars. I got an opinion. I see if you share it with me, and I'm seeing that ADP has gone down. Are you bullish on Tyreek Hill? Because I am not going into the season.
No, definitely bearish. I actually Ooh. Just did a live show with Matt Harmon for Yahoo Fantasy, where we talked about the Dolphins. We're talking about offenses that could, you know, are they justifying hype or should we be worried about them? And we're talking about the Dolphins offense, and both of us are pretty big fades on them because I think they're going through their offensive line first in the first place is going through a whole reworking. And that is a little scary with Tua at quarterback. The whole offense too, the whole roster has been based on injury based guys or guys with injury history. And that's always going to lead to volatility that I just shy away from those types of situations. They're always going to be run first. I think also Tyreek Hill's trying to like buy his way back into his teammates' kind of graces and trying to like be, you know, tail between the legs. No, I'm a good teammate, all that stuff. But I also just think, okay, this whole offense, this whole team, they're trying to go through a culture shift. And that's just hard switch to just turn on. But I do think they're going to try and just be run first, run second, run third. The only guy from that offense that I would kind of buy at price, because I'm shying away from Achan too, because he's an undersized guy and he's already battling a calf injury, is Jalen Waddle. Just because I think he's priced kind of fairly and I think you can get some action and get some good stats from him when he is on the field, because he is going to miss games as well because he's just another member of the Dolphins offense that always seems to be injured.
Talking some fantasy football with Nate Tice, Yahoo Sports. Couple of announcements that were, I guess, kind of surprising to me anyway. Both the Browns and the Colts announced that quarterbacks will be starting. Flacco for the Browns, who beat out all the rookies. And then Danny Dimes, I'm not sure if it's all because of the injury to A-Rich or whatever, but which one of those guys do you think? Because I know Flacco, last time he started for the Browns, actually played pretty well.
Yeah, the Browns are just a mess right now. Yeah. So I think I've been kind of beating the drum that they traded for the wrong Eagles quarterback. They traded for Kenny Pickett in the fifth round. They should have traded for Tanner McKee. And the price is only going up with Tanner McKee. So, the Browns situation is just like, you know, it's 40-year-old Joe Flacco. And when he, to tie it together, last year he backed up Anthony Richardson. When they benched Richardson last year and put in Flacco, he was even worse than Richardson. So there's some good feelings from that high wire act he did on the Browns playoff run. Playoff run they lost in the first round. But it's just going to be hit and miss. There's going to be time. He's going to chuck it. And, you know, I think fantasy terms, I think Judy and stuff will get his touches and Njoku will be a solid pick. But I just think real football terms is like they're going to be a carnival to watch. I'm very interested in watching them. Not surprised he's starting though either.
Fantasy football, if you have to rely on at some point in the season on Flacco or Daniel Jones, your team might be in trouble.
At least Daniel Jones can run.
Yeah.
At least he can run a little bit. Yeah. Flacco's just going to be standing there with an offensive line that's getting older and older.
Last one, about a minute left. I want on-the-field football analysis and also fantasy value. Caleb Williams showed some progress. I don't go crazy over preseason performances, but what do you think of Caleb Williams, and what's the biggest thing for him to kind of hit that next level?
I'm still very high on Caleb, and I'm very high on this pairing with Ben Johnson. I think Caleb, is because the highlights from college and even as his first year in the NFL, a lot of his highlights are him running around like crazy and making sidearm throws. I think an underappreciated part of his game is that he's actually good in the pocket, and he's actually got good footwork, and he's got good timing. It's just that he sometimes has the bad tendency going like, okay, I'm not comfortable with the routes, how the routes are developing. I'm going to go try and create something. And I think now he's getting with an absolute, dictator at offensive play caller, Ben Johnson, who I trust coaches that don't blink, and Ben Johnson like literally doesn't blink. And so I'm like, that's why I'm like really high on this. And I think Caleb like wants that. You know, I think he likes the harder coaching, even if you wouldn't guess that. And so I've been pretty high on the Bears. Like I know they get hype last year. The year, it feels like every year they get some hype and they just disappoint. This one I'm actually buying into a little bit. I also think their defense is going to be quite good, but the offensive system, and they invested in their interior offensive line. They brought in a guy like Joe Tooney, who's not only good, but also is like a great leader. And I think that's huge for this team that needs that kind of real leadership. So I thought with those little glimpses that we saw in that last preseason game Sunday night, I think that's real. It's not going to be all perfect, but Caleb is the number one pick for a reason. I think year everyone's going to be like, oh, yeah.
There it is. Hey, Nate, we're up against it. Don't let Vegas swallow you up, but have a good time here. Have a good time here. We appreciate the time, buddy.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Good job there by Nate Tice. Still a Caleb Williams guy. I was kind of hoping he was going to go the opposite direction on Tyreek Hill. But I do not expect a lot from Tyreek Hill. Now, will I, in fantasy football, if he slips a lot, will I grab him? Of course, because there's still upside, but I don't like what's going on there.
I mean, there's always a danger he might not even be playing at some point in the season.
That's the problem. Yeah. There's so much stuff off the field, so much drama.
Right.
Maybe it's a good thing, I hesitate to say this, that he's actually getting a divorce, but that may open the door to be with, you know, whatever, however many women and procreate. And I know people hear me like rant about this and they're like, what does it matter? None of your business. Like, it kind of is. As a football player, he actually said at the beginning of training camp, he's got to manage his time better and be more focused. That's what I was talking about. He admitted it himself. There's too much nonsense going on, and then he feels like he's got to give Mike McDaniel coaching advice.
Right.
The organization feels that there's like a drain of power, that there's a lack of respect for Mike McDaniel. Well, it starts with Tyreek Hill being able to do whatever he wants and say whatever he wants.
It's just amazing how talented he is versus, you know, the other stuff. It's crazy. I mean, he might be the fastest guy in the league.
But the funny thing is, it's not that amazing, because how did he start his NFL career? By slipping in the draft because he had gotten into nonsense in college. So that's why the Chiefs were able to get him for a bargain basement price. He held it together. You know, you look at certain teams and why they win consistently and how they can work guys like Tyreek Hill and Antonio Brown into the fold and make it work for a while. And the Chiefs made it work because the Chiefs are the Chiefs, because they have a good coaching staff. They have a good The Steelers made it work with Antonio Brown. And then eventually Antonio Brown played himself out of the league.
Right.
And frankly, probably cost himself. He could have been in the league for another 4 years.
Sure.
And that's the problem with Tyreek Hill. Now he's not around Andy Reid. He's not around that structure. So now he's going to freaking implode. But Yahoo Fantasy at Venetian Resort, in conjunction with the William Hill Sportsbooks, all their big fantasy stars, NFL analysts, Nate Tice, Charles McDonald, who's a regular with the Press Box, Matt Harmon, Justin Boone, Scott Pianowski, Ben Fox. It's all part of their big fantasy celebration, and they're going to have live fantasy shows, expert Q&As, draft strategy tips, fan happy hours inside the sportsbook over there, the William Hill Sportsbook at the Venetian. I like what the Raiders are doing from a culture standpoint. I don't think they're going to F around. They've already shown it with Christian Wilkins. Like, we're out.
Right.
We're seeing stuff we don't like. This ain't meshing with the team. We got guys going to HR. We're out. Now, a potential downside of the Raiders is that Pete Carroll wants to play a certain style of defense. He likes certain players, a profile at certain positions, like defensive back.
Yes.
And they've pieced things together here. Eric Stokes is going to be one of the starting cornerbacks, and then the other spot's up for grabs. No more Ja'Quarian Bennett. Darian Porter, who really hasn't played a lot of football at the position, is one of the candidates to be the other corner. Well, that Niner team came in over the weekend kind of beat up at receiver, like a lot of beat up. And Brock Purdy and his receivers still look good. That's where preseason samples matter. This could be a real big problem if the back end of their defense is leaky.
It is. I mean, it could be. There's also the situations where you see teams put guys on an island on purpose to see how they react, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know exactly what they're asked to do on those plays. Maybe it was just like a situation they're not going to see again.
Look at this guy. Huh? Nuanced. I like that.
This guy knows ball.
Why do you say that? Like you're in shock.
This is a good compliment. Yeah, anybody, guys, if anybody tells you, hey, you know ball, you don't take that bad. That's a great compliment.
Well, it's actually what Mark McMillan said about some of the drills from the joint practice. He's like, relax. The receivers have all the advantage against defensive backs. Now, this was in a game situation, but you're right. They could be working on certain things that are a little more challenging, but they cannot be a below average defensive backfield with the Raiders. Otherwise, this is going to be a long season, and they're not going to get to 8, 9, or 10 wins.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling. Only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, let's get into the world of sports gambling. And very important, we mentioned coming out of the gates. You know, one of the guys who shaped the industry here in the state of Nevada and really around the country was the great Jimmy Vaccaro. And it looks like we got news on Jimmy. It's not terrible. But Jimmy at 80. Sammy P is in with us. Sammy!
Stevie!
So what's going on with Jimmy?
Well, according to Todd Dewey, this is sort of breaking news. Las Vegas Review-Journal. Jimmy is going to hang him up after 50 years as a Las Vegas bookmaker. So the story again in the RJ. Jimmy turns 80 on October 5th, and he has left his role at the South Point, moved back to Pennsylvania. 50 years is a long time, man. If you read the story, Todd highlights a lot of the things that Jimmy was responsible for, including, of course, the big line, Tyson against Buster Douglas, the 42-1 shot back in February of 90, creating the season win total, essentially, with the Cowboys in 89. So many things along the way. Jimmy was actually in an episode of The Simpsons, which I don't know many people know.
Wow.
And, you know, a real bookmaker, when you could be a real bookmaker, had the trust of the owners of casinos and, you know, took positions. And, you know, the bookmakers for a long time, and I'm not ripping them now. It's a different corporate era now, but Jimmy would take a position. He would gamble.
Oh, no doubt. And there's a quote in the story. Again, Todd did a great job, Todd Dewey. Jackie Gaughan asked Jimmy if he could help him open up a sports book. And Jimmy says, well, I don't know how. And Gaughan says, good, neither do I. Let's go into business. So they sort of learned how to book on the fly. Just a tremendous guy. And Michael Gaughan, not Jackie. Obviously, Jackie, the father of Michael. Yeah. Michael and Jimmy were thick as thieves and still are. So 50 years for Jimmy Vaccaro and hanging him up as a Vegas bookmaker.
Sammy P is with us from Bet Sweat, Sam Paniatovich. You got a good story up on FoxSports.com with seven plays, seven angles. So let's go from 7 up to 1 and get as many in as possible. You bet Kansas City every single year to win the Super Bowl. It's worked out pretty well. Are you changing your tune?
I am. 6 summers in a row I've done this. And if you think about it, they've won 3 times. And the price usually around 6 to 1, 650. So that's over 18 units if you do the math, right, real quick. Now, they did lose in a couple Super Bowls, and then they also lost in an AFC Championship game. But it's put me in a good spot many times. I don't like their team this year. And I call it a hunch. I find myself thinking Buffalo finally breaks through. And it's not like they haven't really done anything wrong. You know, they've been very good in the regular season. The problem is they keep running into Kansas City. They have 3 one-score losses to the Chiefs in the playoffs. But you bring back White at corner. You bring Joey Bosa in. I think this offense is elite, as it was last year. And Josh Allen is sort of like the Hulk. He gets bigger and stronger every year. I think that's a good bet, 7-1 on Buffalo this year.
Sammy, I was looking at your article you posted on FoxSports.com, and a couple things stood out to me. One was your offensive player of the year prediction is Christian McCaffrey. Now, as a player, obviously amazing when he's healthy, but like last year the guy was getting his Achilles looked at in like Vienna or something. I mean, are you sure he's going to be healthy, or are you confident he's not going to be, you know, sidelined at all this year?
I'm hopeful. I don't know that I'm confident.
Yeah.
Here's the issue, you know, and I told Steve this when I saw him last week. Everybody was talking about McCaffrey last year because McCaffrey wins it in 23. So right. Coming into last summer, he's 6-1, 7-1, and he's the favorite to go back-to-back. Saquon Barkley was 25-1. Nobody wanted to bet Barkley because he had a tough year with the Giants, and nobody really believed in the Eagles in the summer. Well, Barkley wins. Now he's 5-6-1, and now McCaffrey's 22-25-1. So yeah. It's all price sensitive. And I did get a text the other day. What do you think about Barkley? Should we bet Barkley again? I'm like, no, that's not the time right. to bet Barkley. It's a number grab more than anything. Look, they have one of the easiest schedules in the league. They have a win total 10.5. I know people aren't really high on Brock Purdy, but the Niners are very, very legit when healthy, and they were decimated by injuries last year, including, to your point, McCaffrey only playing 4 games.
Right.
But if I tell you he's going to play 15 games, do you like 20-1? I do.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, we're gambling, though. You're right. We're gambling, but it's a yeah. number grab. I would have never bet 6-1 last summer, but I'll take the high side at 22.
A lot of opinions in the NFC North. I almost called it the Central, but whatever it's called now. Vikings? What do you think?
Oh, I think they have one of the best rosters in football. The wow. big issue that many bettors and handicappers have is that we don't know what J.J. McCarthy is yet. Well, I'm more glass half full. I watched him a lot at Michigan, 27-1 as a starter. I mean, come on. I know he's not Pat Mahomes or Lamar Jackson or Aaron Rodgers in his prime, but this kid knows how to win. And he won a state title in Illinois in high school, won a national championship in college. He protects the football. And I think the hands-on coaching that he's gotten the last calendar year, because remember, he gets drafted not this past summer, but 2 summers ago. He's been in that building. So while the reps might not be there, the mentals are. And Kevin O'Connell literally told ownership and management when they asked him after the season, what do you think about Darnold? Should we bring him back? I heard it was a resounding no, because they believe in McCarthy. That defense is unbelievable. Top 3, maybe top 5 in football this year. And I love O'Connell running the offense and Flores running the defense. That's a very good team. They're even money to make the playoffs, plus 100. I'd be stunned if they weren't a top 7 team in the NFC.
I mentioned a lot of opinions on what's going to happen in that division. I saw was this a $300,000 bet on the Bears?
Yeah, is that Griffin's bet? I was wondering, did Griffin make that bet? So somebody, here's what happened. Somebody watched a preseason game against Buffalo's backups and thought, yep, this is it, baby. This is their time. Ben Fox had the tweet, a $300,000 bet in Illinois. So it's a Bears guy with a mustache probably. 300K on the Bears to go over 8.5 wins. It would never be me. And I remind people, the Bears have gone over the win total 1 time in the last 12 years, but that's a ballsy bet.
Well, we already talked about the Niners a little bit. I see that you have them as your pick to win the NFC at that number. Was it plus 950? Who's another team you think in the NFC around there, that number, that you think is a good bet?
I'm going to short the Rams. I just don't buy this stuff that Matt Stafford's healthy, and yeah. It's so funny. You know, he gets out there the other day, and he's wearing the red jersey, and nobody's even breathing on him. They're like, see, he's healthy. Okay. Yeah. We'll find out when a guy on an opposing team tries to rip his head off. We'll find out then how healthy he is. So the Rams last year, they had a lot of breaks. They had a pretty easy schedule. And their win total, if you look right now, depending on where you shop, they're in that similar range, like 9, 9.5. I think people are putting way too much stock into what they did last year. Their secondary is a little overrated. They got really good play from their D up front last year, but a formidable schedule this year. And Stafford at 37, that back issue is not going away. If he's out there week 1, I'd be surprised. I don't think he's ready to go. Clearly, he just got back to practice. But I think the Rams under 9.5 is a good bet. I'm shorting while a lot of people that I know are sort of buying what they saw last year and thinking they can do it again.
From the Buckeyes to the Bills, 7 football futures to bet on right now. Sam Paniadovich with Bet Sweats. That's up on Fox Sports. Well, you mentioned the Buckeyes. What are we going to do here with their win total?
I think they lose week one to Texas. And you look at the path from that point forward. If they do lose, obviously they're 0-1. They'd have to go 11-0 to beat me. And there's a game on the schedule against Penn State. That's a coin flip. There's a game at Michigan. That's a coin flip. Not a very easy schedule. I think you also have to consider that while they did just win the national title, they lost 14 guys to the draft. That's more than Georgia. That's more than Bama. That's more than any team in the country. 14 players. And now you're going to put in a redshirt freshman at quarterback. There's a lot of pressure there. I think they can make the playoff. They can go 9-3, 10-2, make the playoff. But 10.5 is a big number. I like the under. It's about minus 130, minus 135.
What's going to happen with that number on that game against Texas?
Well, you're seeing some support for Texas. And honestly, Steve, the bigger move in that game is not even on the side. It's on the total. So this number in the summer opened at 50.5. I see 48 at Circa, Superbook, the other books at 47 offshore. So there's been plenty of support, I think, for defense more than anything else. Arch is good. I'm not sure Arch is great yet. I mean, we haven't seen him start on the road in a game like this, and he could certainly prove me wrong, but I think defense is going to lead the day here, and the market certainly likes the under from 50.5 down to 48, some books 47. But Ohio State's a very small favorite, just -2.5 at home. It looks so easy to lay that 2.5, doesn't it?
You or your experts have anything for college football for a side for week zero?
I think Kansas is going to blow the doors off of Fresno. Now, look, Kansas last year underachieved. Kansas also lost their leading rusher and their top three receivers. And it's, they didn't achieve last year. So naturally, transitive property, they're going to stink this year. We'll see. I think the coordinators they brought in are going to be a big boost. Kansas actually opened as a 14-point favorite, and now it's down to like 12.5, 13. I'm willing to lay anything under 14. I think Kansas could easily win 35-14, 35-17. It's a big number, but I'm not buying Fresno this year. So it's more of a fade of Fresno than it is a buy on Kansas.
Sammy, I wanted to ask you, obviously, Raiders fans want to know how their team's going to do this year. I've been picking the over on them for 3 years running now. I was wrong every time. This season, though, I'm sticking with it again. I'm going the over. Am I crazy? I think that I saw them at 7.5 wins a couple places. Am I nuts?
No, you're not nuts. Here's a better question. Let me ask you this. Would you rather go over 7.5 wins on the Raiders or over 7.5 touchdowns for Genty?
Oh, definitely Genty.
See, look at that. Did we just get to a better bet together?
Yes, we did.
I understand people are excited about Pete Carroll. That's a big deal because you haven't had a coach with a brain in there in a while.
Right.
But, man, you're in a division with Mahomes and Herbert and Knicks, and I think they're better than they were, but I still don't know about Geno and Pete Carroll. So I'm going to pass. I think that Genting number, I'd rather go over that number than go over on the Raiders.
One last win total in college from your story. We got about 30 seconds left here, but Cal in the ACC, just Cal in general, struggling with funding. What do you think of Cal?
Oh, they're not even giving Wilcox NIL. They're basically giving all the power to Ron Rivera because, you know, Ron Rivera is the guy to build a college program up these days. That old man, geez. They lost 35 players to the portal, including their quarterback. And then when they start getting whooped, they got to start traveling across the country. Because, you know, they're in the ACC now. They're in the Atlantic Coast Conference, which makes no sense. Disaster, white flag year. Love the under 5.5.
Sam, have a good weekend. By the way, it's Tuesday. Have a good week. How'd your buddy make out after eating 60 wings down by himself at Naked City Pizza? 60 wings by himself.
We checked the tape. He only ate 57.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Bum. I know.
Self-control.
He's doing fine. By the way, what a great event we had. We gave away a Westgate College contest. Steve Cofield was in the house.
Showed up.
We had a great time last Wednesday. I'm still drunk from all the Jameson.
It was a rough week in many ways. Thanks, Sam.
Mm-hmm. See you guys.
Yeah, I saw him the night he was flying out, and he was imbibing to get ready for the flight back to Boston. So he was going hard the entire time from landing to taking off back to the East Coast.